Value Market is Louisville's grocer. Since 1978, Value Market has been your neighborhood grocery store for all of life's best moments. Value Market gets it. Life is busy. That's why Value Market has curbside and delivery since 2013, freeing up more of your time for the more important things in life. Kids' ball games, family visits, work, tailgating, and cookouts. Value Market gets it. That's why Value Market has four area locations to serve your grocery needs. Mid-City Mall, Outer Loop Plaza, Aircoy Manor, and Mount Washington. At Value Market, you got savings in the bag. ValueMarket.com.
From the Liquor Barn Studios, it's time for the V Show, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Bobby V.
Just saying.
Hey, let's get this right out of the way because I'm a dummy. Yesterday was Wednesday. You didn't need me to tell you that. But it was also the day before a major championship golf event, and we didn't promote our contest. So we have to change the rules today. So you can. You'll have an advantage because there's already some guys out there. The first tee time was before 7 a.m. today. Yeah. That isn't... I'd withdrawn. I'd have been like, I'm sorry, I can't play. You realize the U.S. Open? Yeah, it's 6:45 in the morning. I'm not.
That's hard.
I can't get up that early. Yeah, I can get a guy who can play. Diener can play. He's up that early, but not me. No, not doing it.
So. Even Drew would be like, that's a stretch.
Yeah, Drew would be a little early for me, too. But having said that, we're still going to give you a chance to enter our contest. Having the email sent right to me so I can process them. The guy who won the Belmont contest, the Triple Crown, our Triple Crown Challenge. Did we get in touch with him? The guy who was the only one who had affirmed on his sheet who won.
That was you.
All right. Well, I'll have to see back and do that because I have his prizes. Amazing.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So we got to do that. Got to give him his prizes. And then today, if you've listened to the show, you know this, but if you're a newbie, every time it's a major golf tournament, we have a contest where you have to send me three players, all three of whom must make the cut. And if they do, then if one of your guys doesn't make the cut, you don't make the cut. So you'll be out. But if all three of you guys make the cut, then we'll take their combined scores, and the best combined score entry will win the prize. And it's always a golf-related prize. We have some golf rounds, and we've got some other stuff. And it's a nice prize. This is a nice prize. But to enter, you got to email me, bobv@espnlouisville.com. Send us three golfers, and you have until, Mike, we go off the air today. So 3 o'clock, when we're off the air, that's the deadline. So that's that. So we are going to do that, and I'm going to tell you right now. Do we have is there a Westwood One update so they don't do this?
Yeah, we should be having updates at 16 and 46. Okay. So Tanner, let us know if it comes down. Yeah, we should be in theory, but who knows?
When we did the Masters, I was not that good.
No, but that wasn't your fault. Like it was.
Well, there was times that it was like on, and then Jim Rome would just still be talking about like football.
Yeah,
I don't understand what's Jim Rome got to do with this.
No, but it comes down the same pot as Jim Rome.
Oh,
so
it's kind of like in your bathroom where the sink and the toilet all eventually.
Yeah, right. It's the same pipe. Right.
Pipe.
It's all pipes.
Yeah.
So yeah, pipes. That's what we got working.
All right. Here, there's some good scores for U.S. Open scores. Remember, all you guys have to make the cut, so you might want to think about guys that are off to a great start. Our guy, there he is again. He seems to be there every championship. Ludvig Åberg.
There we go.
He's there again.
The Swede.
He is tied for the lead. He is 4 under par. That, my friends, in the U.S. Open is an unbelievably low score. He still has 4 holes to go. He's tied with Mathieu Pavon. I believe is French. Is that right? I think that's French.
And it sounds
so,
French.
So I don't know. His first name is probably not pronounced. It's probably
Mathieu.
He makes a putt. Hope the announcer screams Mathieu. That's a Ranger reference that 4 of you listening get. Yeah, Americans all over.
We just got a call in. 5 people actually understood that one.
Very nice.
Hey,
Patrick Cantlay, Tony Finau. And
where he be now?
Russell Henley are all in the top five. So it's three of the top five are Americans, but not the leader. So you can get a head start here if you take some guys that had good first rounds. One guy's in. Logan McAllister is in at 70. So I don't know if you'd be inclined to take him for your team or not, but that's a good start. Let's see how guys do. Tiger started with a birdie. He's now three over after 15. So going to be tough. We'll see what it's going to make the cut. It's top, what is it, top 70 or within 10 strokes of the lead, I think, unless they change that rule. So right now, if you went by that, you would have guys, the score would be, wow, six over, because the leading score is four under, and that guy who's in 68th place is six over, so that's within 10 strokes of the lead, and that's about as far down as you go. But keep in mind, half the field hadn't even teed off yet. So 12:30, the next group goes out in the afternoon. So that is our contest. So send us three, and put the three names in there. Just send it. You don't even have to put a subject line. Doesn't matter. When I get an email that's got three golfers' names and nothing else in it, I'm pretty certain it's for this contest.
Right, yeah.
So
it's not the IRS asking for something.
Don't need forms or anything like that. So just send it at bobv@espnlouisville.com. bobv@espnlouisville.com. Email me there. Three golfers all have to make the cut. We're giving you a little bit of a head start here because we'll take it until 3 o'clock. So you'll have a whole bunch of golfers that will have completed their round and try and stack your team with guys that you're pretty confident are going to make the cut. So that should be a little bit of a help. It still won't be easy to put the winner together. Obviously, at a relatively for golf, especially short price, Scottie Scheffler is the betting favorite. Your boy Colin's two over.
Yeah, that's Tanner's guy.
He keeps getting in second, and then it's like Scotty. It's just like, I'm Scotty, and it's like, all right.
Now he's got a long way to get to second this time. Yeah. He's tied for 32nd, two over. Dustin Johnson, four over. Let's see if I'm looking for some other names here. Scotty has not teed off yet. Correct? Phil Mickelson had a rough day. He's having a rough day, having a very rough day. He's last of all the people that went out in the morning round.
Well, that's no good.
Plus nine, and he's only played 14 holes.
Ooh.
So, and you know who else having a really bad day?
Tiger. Who?
Think local.
Oh, JT? Justin Thomas?
JT's third from last. Eight over after 15 holes.
Yeah.
So, that's no good. But, you know, if you get within 10 strokes of the lead after two rounds, I think he'll still make the cut. So he's got to get a couple of birdies, but this is not a course that's going to give up a whole lot of birdies. Scheffler tees off at 114 if you're scoring at home. And that's almost mean. I think he's playing Scheffler and Schauffele in the same group. Why would you?
Oh, that's a lot of shot.
That's not nice.
It's a lot of shot noises.
So people. Guys are going to be stuttering by the end of the round.
Well, maybe are they trying to maybe start this movement that Scotty now goes by Scotty? He's not Scotty Scheffler. He's Scotty. Oh. You know, he's like
the
one
Cher.
Word thing.
He's like
there was Tiger.
He's a one.
And then there was Phil.
Bono. He's the one. He's the one name performer.
Is he now Scotty?
I don't know. I don't know. It's hard to say. Interesting, by the way, we talked about this on our show, and there's a big article about it at ESPN.com. And it is kind of two guys. They didn't write about this. They wrote about the first part of what I'm going to say. But it strikes me as interesting that two guys seem to be going in different directions in terms of public perception. Big article about DeChambeau,
mm-hmm.
who has turning into a
turn face.
The faciest face of all time. He's just he's in practice round. He is walking along the edge of the rope, signing hats, signing autographs, interacting with fans. I guess I've not seen it. He's got his own channel, his own...
I didn't know that. Like, a YouTube channel or something?
YouTube, yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's, like, really big on social media now.
Yeah, that's his thing. And they love him. The people love him. I guess he's very charming and polite, and he's very... he came to terms with the fact that his other brand wasn't working. He said there's a part of him that still wants to hit every shot 400 yards, but
right.
He realizes that's not always the way to go, and especially on this golf course. So, you know, when you hit it that far, there's some tee shots, he's hitting a 6-iron off the tee, which is, you know, his clubs, by the way,
they're all the same length.
No, but yes, they are, but that's not even the most significant. They're made with a 3D laser printer.
Oh, really?
How about that? So they are literally the only set in the world like this. And they had to get special approval from the PGA. and the USGA, and they approved these clubs. They are all the same length. He's worked more in his putting. He's not as bulky as he used to be. He's down about 10 pounds. He's about 215 now. He was up to 225, 230, and he says he intends to go back to that. He likes being big. But right now, his golf game is better served by being a little bit more
svelte,
live, if that's a good choice of words.
More live?
Lithe, L-I-T-H-E, lithe.
Lithe. Oh, lithe, L-I-T-H-E, lithe.
I just said it.
I know, but it sounded like you were saying live.
No, I was saying lithe.
Lithe. What's lithe mean?
Lithe means he lost weight and he's more sinewy and not so bulky.
Okay. I know what sinewy means.
And live from New York, thin, it's Saturday
supple,
night.
Sorry. Thin, supple, and graceful.
Nice. So
that's the meaning of lithe.
Lithe, thin,
supple, and
graceful. As
opposed to tithe, which is where you give 10% of your money to your church.
She lay gazing up at his tall, lithe figure.
Oh, hey, oh, hey, oh.
That's literally what's on Google.
Hey.
Google has a case of the hornies.
It's Google. Can Google get frisky? Google starts hitting on
Yahoo,
search engines.
On Bing.
Bing.
Bing, how you doing?
Bing's like, I'm telling you, stop texting
me. Hey, Bing, I'm feeling lucky. See, that's a Google reference.
Yes,
there. That's pretty good.
Bing. They had, yeah,
you can click on my search bar.
Dog pile. Remember that one? Did
you? Oh, dog pile. Whoa, yeah.
That was one of the very first ones.
Ask Jeeves.
Jeeves.
Yeah. So that's when the internet, it was a simpler time.
I can't say it was more Wild West because it's Wild West now, but yeah.
No, it was better back then. Like,
how many Google? How many search engines can you think of? Bing.
Bing. Google. Yahoo.
DuckDuckGo.
Oh, DuckDuckGo.
Is that a game where you jump on a kid's back and stuff?
No, DuckDuckGo is supposed to
it's
be
Duck,
like
Duck,
the,
Goose.
Oh, okay.
It's like the anti-Google in the sense that it like
doesn't actually find anything.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't.
It's
track
like great
you.
Hamburger restaurants, and it brings you a list of car manufacturers.
No, but it's supposed to like not like track you or something like that, which is good.
Okay.
Very popular with the right wing. Okay. What else is?
We said there's the other one. There's
Dogpile.
Yeah,
like you said. But Ask Jeeves.
There's another one here. No, that's Google. There was another one I was trying to think of that was kind of a big deal that came when you bought your computer.
Was it like a Microsoft thing?
Or yeah, maybe it was.
Bing is Microsoft.
Maybe that's what I was thinking of.
Badoo.
God bless you. What do you say?
Oh, AOL.
Oh, yeah. AOL.
That was one for a little bit.
Got a search thingy.
Ask.com.
Ask.
Oh, yeah.
Is that what Ask Jeeves became? 23 great search engines you can use instead of Google.
Wow.
Which, ironically, I found on Google.
Well, at least that was diplomatic of them. DuckDuckGo. I'm finding
Bing.
Someone now. Bang! Chandler, that's what I smacked. His boss smacking him on the ass. Remember Chandler? Bang!
Perplexity.ai.
Oh, hey. Bing.
You.com. Yep.com. Openverse.
Never heard of that one.
Yahoo.com. Yahoo came in sixth.
Ecosia.
Yeah.
Isn't he the catcher for the Dodgers, Steve Ecosia?
Ecosia. AOL.
Right.
DuckDuckGo.
Okay. Start page.
Are you on the same page
yeah,
I am?
I'm just following along at home.
Swiss cows.
Oh, those are delicious.
Dude, that sounds like a hostess treat.
It does.
You want some Swiss cows? Now in strawberry.
Jibberoo. Uncensored private search with no retargeting, no selling of private data. Jibberoo. Brave.
Pornhub. Interesting.
That's not on here.
I was just kidding.
Wiki.
Wiki.com.
X, formerly known as Twitter. That's a search engine?
I guess.
That's a stretch. SlideShare. Allows you to search for documented slideshow presentations. The Wayback Machine. That's from Poindexter and from Sherman. Sherman and Dr. Hey. The Wayback Machine.
Oh,
Sherman?
Yeah.
And let's go back to 1650.
From Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Yes,
and great show.
That was fantastic. Wolfram Alpha.
That sounds like a Decepticon. Like, I feel like that's a bad guy Optimus.
See, some of these aren't. Some of these a little bit of a stretch. Like LinkedIn. You can't look up like great car manufacturers on LinkedIn.
Terrible for searching porn.
Baidu, B-A-I-D-O.
Why are they all wearing suits?
Baidu is the largest search engine in China with a 60... In China, as so-and-so says it. A 66 market share there, 66%. Baidu, B-A-I-D-O, Yandex has 69% of the Russian search. Wow. Could you use that here? Like for S&G? Could you go to Yandex?
Yandex, let's see. I'm going to type it in.
I want to see if you can do a search on the Russian Hockey League.
Oh, the KHL.
Yeah, it says Yandex finds everything. Should I allow essential cookies? I guess you have to. It won't let me work.
Finds everything. Let's see.
What's the name of the Hockey League in Russia?
KHL. I'm just going to allow the essential cookies.
Yeah, I have good news and bad news.
It's in Russian.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It comes up quickly, but it's all in that Cyrillic. Is that what it's called? Cyrillic?
Something like that, yeah.
Cyrillic alphabet?
Oh, yeah, that's super Russian.
The Continental
Hockey.
Oh,
wait, translate. There's a translate button.
Yeah, look at that. You know what? I think I'm going to start using this. No, I can't because I'm getting a little bit mad at the Russians. I mean, that whole thing with Ukraine is disgraceful.
How many more search engines? Yandex.
There's two left.
Sogu, a Chinese search engine, has 5% of the market share in China.
Yeah, well, the other one had the 66%. Yeah. I already read the 66%.
And last but not least, Navar.
Navar.
Or Naver. Jim, I think it's Naver.
Jim Naver. Wasn't he used to sing?
Huge in Korea. 34% of the market share in Korea.
He used to sing Back Home Again in Indiana, Jim Naver.
Yeah, may he rest in peace.
Yeah.
Gomer Pyle.
So, now having said that, DeChambeau changing his image dramatically. Fantastic. The guy whose image seemingly is going the other way is Luca.
Yeah.
Luca was... used to be a funny, charming kind of guy. That flirty thing with the referee, which probably was borderline inappropriate, but she laughed. And now everybody's just getting on him. He just is whining.
Can you play the wind horse sound?
Pointing to the bench, and he's mad at his teammates. And who the hell do you think you are, you chubby little bastard? I mean, what is that? It's just... And to make it worse, what is going on... It's like Jerry Seinfeld. What is going on with the NBA playoffs? They suck in the finals now. It used to be opposite. The early rounds were terrible, and you'd be bored. And then you say, all right, well, they salvaged themselves with another great final. The finals now every year are stinking.
Yeah.
When's the last seven-game one? Was the Warriors and
the Cavs?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I just saw one where it was like the one in the bubble, the Heat versus Lakers. That was the best one recently.
That was.
Because
that
those were like, yeah, it went in six, but every game was
very competitive.
Yeah.
This is awful. That 3-0, nobody in the NBA has ever come back from 3-0 down.
Nope.
It's just a matter of when the Celtics are going to get crowned. I hope I didn't sound disrespectful talking about Jerry West passing. I told her how much I admired him and loved him and grew up watching him and how great he was. But I'm convinced that's why he died now.
I got it.
He died now because he was like, I am not sticking around for another Celtic championship. Get the hell out of here. I had enough of that in my lifetime. I am out.
How many times did he have to deal with it? Seven times or something?
I think so. But it was just, he was in the finals every year, and they just couldn't get
past
the
times Celtics. I think he went to game seven, and they just couldn't.
They lost game seven. They had one where it was an incredible shot that they had a wide open shot at the buzzer, and they missed, and... It's a tortured tenure that he had against the Celtics.
I'm truly upset because I really appreciate memes, and I thought at the beginning of the playoffs we were going to get a really good one with Jason Tatum with the whole commercial of like, there's no such thing as playoff Tatum, or there's no play, you remember that one with and like Brunson. And then there was a new one with Gatorade yesterday where like, it's like Jordan's like speaking over, and then like they're going on like, I think like it's like a USA girl who's a runner, and then like some, I think maybe McDavid, and then there's Tatum, and then Tatum like is on the bench and he looks up at the banner, but it's a blank banner. I was like, ooh, I really want them to lose so we can use this like as memes.
That'd be a great meme.
Man.
It's
not happening. Nope. Not happening.
Well, here's Windhorse on
SVP. Brian Windhorse.
Brian Windhorse yesterday after the game on with SVP.
Yeah, I thought it was perfect that Luka fell onto the ground there in an unacceptable position to put himself in with 4 minutes left with five fouls, and then immediately looks at the bench and says, you better bleeping challenge it, as if it's the bench's fault that he just made a terrible play. I'm standing here in the Mavericks tunnel. Over there is the Celtics tunnel. That's where the winners are. If Luka's ever going to be a winner coming out of this tunnel here, he is going to have to use this what's happened in this finals as a learning experience. His defensive performance is unacceptable. He is a hole on the court. The Celtics are attacking him. They are ahead in this series because they have attacked him defensively. And you've got a situation here where Luka is complaining about the officiating. They have begged him. They have talked with him. They have pleaded with him. He is costing his team because of how he treats the officials. He's a brilliant player. He does so many things well. They are here because of how he did. His performance in this game is unacceptable, and the reason why the Mavericks are not going to win. He's got to get over this. And the fact that he came out after the game and blamed the officials showed me he's nowhere close yet. So maybe over the summer, somebody will get to him, because nobody with the Mavericks or anybody else in his life has. And that's where the Mavericks are at this point. They're never going to get to this tunnel with the trophy if he doesn't improve those aspects of his game.
Wow. Tell it like it is, Brian Windhorst.
Damn. Scorched earth on him.
Yeah. Well, you know, I tip my hat to Windhorst, because when he started those many, many, many years ago, he really only... It's not being rude or snarky to say. He only got the job.
It's a LeBron.
Because of LeBron. He had his access to LeBron that other reporters didn't have. And that was his whole job, was to tail LeBron. That was his right. Only assignment. It was 24/7, all the LeBron watch. And he has turned himself into a solid NBA reporter. He's worked hard at it, and he brings good information to the table, and that's a good analysis. I mean, eventually you get to the point where you just – Pat Riley said it best. Pat Riley said his father, I guess rather late in life, it was kind of like one of those deathbed things, said, Pat, I don't know where or when, but at some point in your life, you're just going to have to plant your 2 feet firmly on the ground and kick somebody's ass. And that he never forgot that. He said that but what's that got to do with this?
Oh, you can tell.
Well, the point was, no, I'm making excuses. It's not about the officials. It's not about this. It's not about you on the bench. It's not about Jim. It's about me. It's about what I can control. And Luka hadn't learned that yet. Luka's got to learn to plant his 2 feet on the ground and say he's going to go out and kick somebody's rear end and not be looking at the officials, looking at the bench, looking everywhere else. And unfortunately, there's a lot of that that goes on now. I mean, in sports, which, because it goes all the way back, I'm sorry, to youth sports. What are you pointing at? It's a spam call. It's always somebody else's fault. It's always even when you're a kid, the coach's fault. It's the official's fault. I was reading an article today. This is absolutely tragic in my mind. I choose that word advisedly. Tragic. They're not exaggerating when they say this, that the abuse of officials in high schools and below sports on Long Island has gotten so bad that nobody wants to do it, and they may have to discontinue high school sports because nobody will officiate the games anymore.
That's disgusting.
I mean, that is ridiculous. But if you go to any youth game, I mean, you see it. I mean, it's for some reason we think they're fair game to just and that carries over to these little kids who do what they see their parents do, and so it carries over. What's it got to do with Luka? Because it, you're brought up in a culture that's never your doing. Not your response. That's your doing. The coach screwed you. The official screwed you. The scheduler screwed you. They gave you a bad starting time.
Right.
It's never anything that you – which, by the way, is completely unhealthy for an athlete, because the athlete should always feel he can find a way to get the job done. That's what you should be teaching them, which is I've told this story so many times on the show, and I'll tell it again because it's one of my favorites about why my dad was so extraordinary. My dad was a really gifted athlete. He was not a guy who was a helicopter father because, he never played. He played everything. He played in the forerunner to the NBA. He had a tryout in the Yankees minor league system in baseball. He played every sport. He, like me, just loved sports. He played everything. And he wasn't at all my games. Not because he, didn't care. He was at a lot of them. But he was not like his life evolved around my games. It was his approach was kind of like, I had my career. You have yours now. Go, gay.
Yeah, do your thing.
Do your thing. What do you want to play? I played soccer, basketball, and golf. He played football, basketball, and baseball. But it was never like when I have soccer. He was very supportive. Yay, great. And he became an avid golfer. Anyway, the point I'm making is the lessons he got, I never forgot. The lessons he gave, I never forgot. One is, I was on the All-Star team. in Little League. Let's not lose our minds.
Big shot here.
Let's not lose our minds, okay?
So it's already out.
We go to... It wasn't even the major league. It was the one below it.
The minor league.
Yeah, it was like the 10-year-olds.
Yeah, minors.
The minor leagues. So, and I was a pretty good hitter. I never throw, even back then, although I don't know if I still had the grenade launch approach, but I could hit. I could hit. So I'm at, but now you're in All-Stars. You're kids that are
decent,
better than the kids that you're playing on an everyday basis. And I was at the plate. I'll never forget this. And he was there, and he was driving me home. And so I was at the plate against this little left-hander.
Lefty on lefty.
Lefty on lefty. And so I was a switch hitter, but in the All-Stars, I didn't have the faith to jump up there against a good pitcher right-handed. I hit a triple righty.
Oh, nice.
Maybe hit a home righty. Hit low homers lefty. Remember, but hit two triples righty.
Wow.
Yeah. Glory. Bob Valvano, 10-year-old glory days here on the V-Show. But my point being, gives you an idea how much respect I had for this kid that
right.
I wasn't even going to jump up there righty. I was like, I got a bad lefty, even though, you know. So I'm in there lefty. And when you're a good left-handed pitcher, you know what you're doing. And he threw me a couple pitches, and I swung and missed. And I took – now, think about this. Think about what you see kids do today. Like when I went to the – when I was the commissioner of the high school hockey league here, the first game I went to, that still has left a scar on my brain for the rest of my life. The goalie took a stick and threw it in the seats. And the coach took the whole thing of water bottles, that plastic thing of water bottles, and fired them on the ice. And the officials just stood there. And I said after the game, why didn't you – you should have thrown everybody out. And they said, we can't. Well, I said, why? Because nobody's ever backed us up. And I was like – I did feel like a little bit of a bad MF at that point. Because I was like, well, we're backing you up now. So, and they were like so happy. They were like, somebody finally is going to. I said, what? This is ridiculous. Youth sports. It's supposed to be teaching something here. The goalie was pissed, took his stick and fired it. And that thing could kill somebody, a goalie stick.
I remember that game.
Oh, my God.
You were so pissed off.
I was so angry. I was so happy. I was like, I'm going to watch my first game as commissioner. Yay. I'll say hello to both the teams. And, you know, we'll all shake hands at the end. And
it was in Lexington, and you got lost driving home because you were so mad.
I was so angry.
We drove around Lexington for 45 minutes.
Oh, that was when we started doing, we made contracts. Anyway, I don't want to revisit that. We did contracts for the teams. But my point being, this is something that's ingrained in me, but it came from my dad, which was, you do things. You know, my father used to say, I have a great saying also, you do what has to be done. It sounds so cliched, but that was his thought. Like, if you wanted to go do something for frivolous, he didn't mind, be silly. But, you know, before you do that, you do what has to be done, you know, which could mean cutting the lawn or putting, you know, clean your room up or doing your homework or something. But do what has to be done. That's all. It's a pretty simple approach. So in this case, they were not doing what has to be done in that game. So they're not happy. So anyway, I'm back to the Little League game. So that's why I say I contrast it with what I'd seen elsewhere. You have to understand how mild this was, that I swung and missed twice. And on the second one, I took the bat, my right hand, because I'm batting left-handed, and swiped at the dirt, basically. Not took it over my head, took a two-hand swing, and or started a litany of profanities from a little 10-year-old. I took the bat and tapped the dirt. Okay? And he's driving now, and he's looking out the window as he's driving. I'm sitting in the passenger seat in the front. And he said, so what was that all about there? I said, what are you talking about? He said, that little hitting the dirt there with your bat. I said, Dad, I said, it was not a big deal. I didn't think he was that good. He wasn't too fast for me. I thought there were a couple of pitches there I should have really ripped, and I missed it, and I was disappointed that I couldn't hit him. He said, no. He said, so, and he's still looking out the front window. So I said, I just thought I should have been able to hit him. So he said, so explain something to me. Now you know where I get it from. I do this with you, okay? What? He said, so how does you hitting the dirt make you a better batter in that moment? So what are you talking about? He said, well, if you thought you should have hit him, why didn't you start thinking about why you weren't hitting him? Should you move up in the box, back in the box, choke up on the bat, get down on the bat, load sooner? There's 15 different things that you could do that might make the result different. And then he finally looks at me for the first time. He says, but I promise you, hitting the dirt wasn't one of them. And I was like,
Well, damn.
So he was right. And that's the truth. And so that was to the day I stopped playing in college. I never forgot the thought that, I'm a recreational golfer at best now, but I still have that approach. There's got to be something I can do to hit the ball better, score better, something. What can I do? Am I getting too close to the ball? Am I taking the club back on the outside, on the inside? Am I releasing too late? My wrist lock? What? There's a million different things, which is also the charm of sports, is that you can find answers. But that's what you should be teaching athletes, is that you can create the answers. Luka, and at the highest level, evidently doesn't yet believe that. The answers are that his teammates suck, or the referees suck, or his bench sucks, or everybody in the world sucks but him. And that's bad. And that's bad. And it's also a bad lesson that, you know, young players see. And that, and the parents pass that on, because that's why the umpires don't want to ump anymore. Because the kids, it's never the player's fault. It's right. It's the umpire's fault, or the coach's fault, or, you know, he's messing with your games. And there's always a million. Mike Pratt, God rest his soul.
Family, friends, and fools.
They're always there.
The three Fs.
Oh, the three Fs. They're always there. And that's the truth. And that's a shame. It's really a shame for youth sports, especially. Because he used to tell me that all the time. I told you that. If you are coaching a youth team, I pissed people off. I've been here 20-some-odd years. I pissed a lot of people off. I don't know who this guy is, but I guarantee he's walking around saying that ass hat. Because when I first got here, you know, I was coaching at Bellarmine, and they want to be like, oh, we're colleagues. Because he coached some youth team in town. And he came and he saw me somewhere. I was doing something. He said, I've won the fifth grade championship for the last 3 years. And I said, oh, I'm so sorry. And he looked at me. So I'm sorry because you think I would give a damn about that.
Jeez, Dad.
Well, he looked at me. And I said, because you didn't tell me anything else. Maybe the kids hated playing for you. Maybe you cheated. Maybe you went out and got all the best players in the league, and, you know, your dog could have won the championship. It doesn't tell me. Did you teach them anything? Do they love the game? Did you give them an enthusiasm? Did they learn anything? That doesn't tell me anything. So, yeah, I mean, I can't really respond to that, other than if you somehow think that should be significant to me, well, then you don't really understand what youth coaching is all about. And that's the truth. My father used to say all the time that, especially the younger you are, the more it applies. The older you get, the competitive level certainly kicks in. But the younger you are, there's two questions he would ask. You know what they are.
Yep.
The first question was, did you have fun? Because if you didn't have fun, and that question has become a lot more relevant lately, who knows why? Is the coach being abusive? Is he calling the kids out? Is he embarrassing them? Is he calling them names? Do you not really want to play anymore? Are you playing for me, for your parents, not for yourself? You know, there's so many kids that do that. I used to recruit kids at Bellarmine, and I would, you know, we had kids more than once. We'd say, you know, you're interested, and they'd say, no, I'm not going to play anymore. We're not going to play anymore. We got a scholarship possibility at Bellarmine. I'm burned out. I'm playing some eight. And I realized they didn't really want to play. They were playing because that was the thing their parents expected them to do. And especially some of these sports, like you go on the hockey trips. Oh, my Lord.
Oh, man. Don't get started with hockey,
that
parents.
That is the parents. That's their – they dump the kids in a hotel, let the kids do anything they want, and go down to the bar and drink. And I'm sorry. You get mad at me. Am I right or am I right? I mean
– that's pretty accurate.
You're right on
I
the
mean,
button.
I mean, that's what they do. And so I'm saying to myself, what the hell is that? That's not what this is supposed to be about. I mean, and so if you ask them – because who knows if the kids really want to play? Because the parents subconsciously are subtly encouraging them to keep playing, because this is my social life. This is where am I going to go and have these kick and knock a few back with all the other parents. So if the kid doesn't want to play anymore, you know, it's a terrible reason to play for his parents or for any peer pressure or anything else. So he would ask me, "Did you have fun?" And if the answer to that was yes, then the second question was, "What'd you learn?" And that was the whole point was. It was never about, well, the coach didn't teach me anything. There was never a time he felt, and I am 60-some-odd years old now, and I've found him to be true all my life. There is never a time you set foot on the field or the court. The minute you set foot between the lines is an opportunity for you to learn, period. You don't even need anybody else to learn something. You know, you go to the driving range, and you what happens if I move my hand over here or over here? I move my foot here or there. I take my club. A million things in individual games. Well, it's no different in team games. What did you learn? And if you didn't learn anything, it was your own fault. Don't tell me, well, the coach, he didn't even work with me today. Really? Well, you know, could you watch from the side? Could you learn anything from observing? Did you, you know, while he was doing that, could you work on something on your own on the side? Find somebody to throw with or soft toss or something? There's got to be something you could have done out there. Did you learn nothing today? Well, that's on you. And I, you know, and that's the truth. So did you have fun and what'd you learn? Then maybe kind of casually, he'd say, "And did you win? Or, you know, what'd you do? How'd you do?" And I might say, you know, and he would be happy if I, you know, scored. I remember I was on the ninth grade team as a eighth grader, and the first time I scored in double figures, I was really excited. I got 12 points, and he was like, "Hey, very good." But he wasn't like, "Stop the! Here's $20. That's fantastic." You know, next time we do it, it'll be $3 a point. Get out there, junior, kick some ass. You know, it was not. No, it wasn't like that at all. And that's really what the lesson should be in youth sports. Did you have fun? What'd you learn? That's it. And if you, and certainly there's no sin at all in trying to win and doing your best within the rules to try your hardest to win. And if you win to celebrate, it's fine. It wasn't that. It was not, you know, let's give a participation trophy to everybody in the world. He was never that way. But it was, it's upside down when you think that, you know, you're going to go talk to a guy you've never met before and tell him you won 3 fifth grade championships and that's supposed to impress him. I don't know. Maybe you abused the kid. I don't know how you did it. You know, I have no idea.
Wait, you're telling me my 3 state championships growing up in squirt and peewee hockey is not impressive?
I don't
today?
Know. Well, I know. I need more information. Did you like it?
Oh, I loved
it. Did you learn stuff?
Yeah.
Was your coach good to you?
Yeah, he was pretty good.
Okay. I mean, did the other kids, were they all treated fairly? And they,
yeah.
Okay, well, then you had a good had experience. A good time. Congratulations to you. So thanks. That's good. Yeah. That's
I made myself tinfoil rings when I was little, too. I was like, I did it. See, I did it.
And then you went and ruined it.
I made myself tinfoil rings.
Yeah, I mean, that's I'll awesome. Be honest. It goes all the way. I don't mean to be rude to these guys, but these guys playing these softball tournaments.
What?
Oh, some of these softball guys are out of their minds. Well, every weekend they're going to, you know, I talked to a friend of mine who was a very good athlete, very good basketball player, and then was wound up, you know, a lot of guys, when they finish playing basketball, they play softball, and he was very good. So they would ask him to come on the teams. He said, I finally had to give it up. He said, because it's like your whole life. Yeah. You go, this week they're in Tennessee, this week they're in Florida, and then they buy rings. They get rings for themselves.
Well, the team I don't have a problem with that.
A ring for a tournament in softball?
Oh, I thought it was like a national thing.
No, well, anybody can call that. That's what kind of makes me laugh when I hear, no disrespect, but, you know, the 10-time national champions in what? Who's every time I turn a TV on, there's another national championship of some sort.
Oh, like cheerleading in college?
I mean, I don't mean to mock it, because they're really good, especially, you know, like, example, U of L's dance team. They're really good. They work their asses off. But I'm just saying, it's like, I'll never forget you guys. I'm sorry, I'm going to burst your bubble.
Oh, no.
The rankings came out. Some bull spit rankings came out.
We everyone on the team except like 2 people thought it was legit.
Youth is on his junior. I don't know. But hockey makes no sense. The youngest kids are the Giants, and the teenagers are like the Peewees or some crap. I don't know. The names don't make any sense.
It was a midget double A national rankings. We were the second ranked team in the country. And
look at his face. And I was like,
here,
I don't mean to be rude,
no,
but I'm going to guess there
we
were
had a good team.
30 teams in Minnesota.
I could hear an argument that we might have had a top 50 team in the country.
Dude, fair enough. 12-year-olds in Minnesota could have beaten that
team.
One guy
who, like, you know, we all have friends that, you know, are I call them sprinkle lickers, that no matter what's going on in your life, they lick the sprinkles off your donut.
I try not to do that.
But no, that's bull crap. You love sprinkles. But no, but this was a sprinkle licker in my life. But he was 1,000% accurate. He said, Nick, I guarantee you that there are 10 kids that have never met each other that play in your age group in Michigan that could come down here and kick your ass by 7 goals. And he was,
oh, yeah.
And he was 100% right. Why? Because we, in the mid-AM tournament, played a team of just that. It was like 9 kids from Toledo that seemingly had never played together, came and beat our team, the second-ranked team in the nation, 10-2. And I was, and then just went on the ice. And it was literally the fastest kid I've ever seen in my life. From Toledo. Not Michigan, not Minnesota, Toledo. Kicked our ass.
I mean, but that's my point. Listen, it's great. Kids should celebrate their successes and stuff. But I heard parents going around telling people, my kid plays on the second-ranked team in the country. And I thought, like, they had never played hockey. They don't know hockey. I'm not an expert, but I grew up around. New York has some pretty, extensive youth hockey, like where he's from, where Tulio's from. It was no disrespect. You guys were not the second best team.
No, and to all of our my teammates' credits, with the exception of maybe two guys on the team, we saw that and laughed our asses
yeah,
off.
I mean,
we were like, "Are you kidding me?" Yeah, it was like, you know, we all knew
enjoy
it was
your success and have some fun. But that's what I mean. So somebody will do that, and then they'll say, "Let's go buy rings. Let's go." You know, it's just like, and you just want to say, you know, why don't you just go buy yourself a trophy? I'm going to open up a store for get your own trophy shop, and just, you know, give yourself an award.
The team we lost to, because the gas bags, we only play Monday, and we don't practice. We just are like, hey, we have a game at 7:30 at this field. Who's there?
By 7:25.
Yeah, kind of thing. The team we lost to, I found out they're like, yeah, they play like four games a week. Yeah. And I'm like, are they not adults with jobs? Like,
no. It's, see, now, I don't mind if you have a passion. And we played, you know, before I had to stop playing with all these ailments, we would play, and there would be teams in our league that was their, instead of having practice, that's like John McEnroe. John McEnroe used to play doubles in tennis because he hated to practice.
Right.
And if you play doubles, it's all volleying.
Right.
So he'd get all his volleying practice in by playing doubles.
Okay.
Well, that's what these guys do. They join this league that they're way above, but they, instead of practice, they come, and not everybody shows up, but then, you know, there'll be enough guys that'll come, and they get their swings in, they get their practice in, they do a little fielding, and, you know, they're not really that excited about winning your league, but they're way better than, and it bothers me a little bit, because the fun of being in leagues is to play with people like the hockey league that you're in, frankly.
Yeah, oh, it's
what
great.
They do is they draft. It's like a summer basketball camp. All the players go in a pool, and then they draft. There's, what, four teams?
Yeah.
Four teams. And so the teams are basically pretty evenly batched.
Yeah, Tanner, you need to get in this league. It's a good skate.
It's fun. It was fun to watch because
it was
competitive.
I will take whatever draft position I get personally. Oh, it's third overall? That's two mistakes ahead of me right there.
Check it. Your team, by the way, I watched you played 57 minutes, 19 minutes a period. You didn't hit anybody. No checks at all.
I checked one person.
I was just kidding. You're not supposed to check.
No, it's not check.
I would be so upset. I'd be like, dude, my shoulder is ruined. Do not touch me.
Well, I was. I'm at the. I have about a 20-second turbo boost because I've got no legs and I'm not changing direction. So if you are in my crosshairs and this guy was in my crosshairs, I was not spending the energy to get around him. I just comfortably leaned on him and shoved him into the boards, and I realized, I was like, I'm checking this man right now. I don't even mean to, really, but I am. So no, it's a good skate, Tanner. You love it.
No, it's fun. It was fun to watch.
I'm glad.
It was actually entertaining to watch. There was a let's see, Darlene and I watched, and if you include us, the attendance was two.
Yeah,
that's right.
No,
she and I were the only two people watching.
No, and here's the other thing. Anytime mom and dad come and watch me play hockey, I lose.
Really?
Yeah, like literally, like just about every.
That's encouraging.
No, I still want you guys to come, you know, occasionally and watch. It still makes me feel like a little kid again.
Well,
but
we really, watch this. This will fit the brand. We really weren't there for you. We came because Jamie was reffing. just wanted to watch Jamie ref.
He really runs a tight
ship. It was the second period before I realized you were playing. Yeah. I was like, isn't that Nick?
Well, we had 15 people. Which in adult hockey
that's what
is
Jamie said.
Unheard
that's
of.
That's what Jamie said. Jamie said that works against you. In adult
oh, God,
hockey.
Yeah. So we like I got nine shifts the whole game. Now, the thing is, I'm so fat and out of shape, it's about all I can handle. But it was, no, it was.
How long were the shifts, though?
It was long. Right, even your mom. Your mother knows more about sports. I'm impressed by her when I sit with her. She said, these are really long shifts. It's recreational hockey. I said, they're not throwing guys over the boards every 45 seconds.
Yeah.
They basically come out when they need oxygen.
Yeah.
That's pretty much the extent of it. The guy waddles over to the bench, and he's gasping, and they're like, okay, next line.
We have a guy on our team. I love him, Jose. I swear to God, he would smoke cigarettes on the bench if they'd let him.
How about, by the way, Hader plays on the other team?
Yeah, Hader. Yeah, we played against our man Hader last night. Yeah,
he came over and said something after the match.
Hader is 47.
God bless him.
And it looks great.
Yeah, but he said something to us, to mom and I, over the boards, and I smiled and was polite, and I said, "Darling, do you hear what you said?" She said, "I have no idea." So whatever you said to us, we didn't hear you. He might have said something really rude. We don't know. You two jackasses are here. You know, your whole family sucks. Hey, have a good night. That's funny.
Ah, good one, Hader. Classic Hader. No, it was a good time. No, it's a great skate. And we were, after the game, in the parking lot every week, somebody
brings
makes food.
Jamie said there's always great food.
Great food. Gary last night, his wife made a delicious chicken pasta salad. So we were out there having a couple drinks, eating some grub, played cornhole and can jam. Can jam. I love can jam.
Which is that one? Is that with a frisbee in the can?
Yeah. I love cornhole.
No.
Can jam, I think, is
right. Can jam's a better game.
Pat, I was playing with Patty O'Sullivan. He and I were teammates. And we had a good rivalry with my man Zink and Ludwig. Patty.
Ludwig was on the other team, isn't he?
No, Ludwig was on our team. He's the one who scored.
Oh, that's right. It was like four really good players, two on each team, they look like watching McDavid in the NHL. They are just
zipping
flying around people. I was like, oh my God, these two guys. Wow.
The last time I skated, I couldn't score, but I was close to being one of those guys in this league. It has gotten so much faster.
Good.
The past 2 years, and I've gotten so much slower. Now I'm the exact opposite. I'm one of the tail-end guys.
You take like 3 months off, and you lose everything.
I took like 2 years off, so
I love watching you play, and you wound up being a good player and was part of building Louisville's team from literally nothing, like three wins to having winning seasons at your end and beating like Indiana and other good programs, good club programs. So I'm tipping my hat.
Beat Liberty my freshman year, dude. Thanks
yeah,
to
that
Nick.
Was massive.
Nick, the pioneer.
You guys actually played together a year?
No. But my freshman year, we beat the best team in our in our like division.
Yeah.
And I remember like not really realizing how big of a deal it was.
Oh,
and then
yeah,
like
no, it was. This guy kept it alive. I mean, when I say that, I mean literally. Like they had like seven players.
Oh, it's great.
And rather
maybe
than cancel the schedule, they played it out. And then next year,
full broken bones and everything.
They brought in the new coach and who's still there. And
Brian Graham, shout out
BG.
Anyway, but the point being, you for some reason we love him to death, and he turned into a good skater. He went to skating camps, but stick handling drives me out of my mind.
Oh, I suck. I've got the worst
hands ever.
He comes
up the ice. He did this from back in his college days. He'll dangle, whatever they call it, and then he'll go to pass it and just completely whiff on it. Just slides away from him. And I'm like, dude, can't you just get the stick on it? Just throw it somewhere. Dangle, dangle, dangle. Go around, guys. Here it is. Here's his chance to pass to the other wing. Whiff.
Still got it.
As Kenny Mayne would say, with the whiff.
Oh, God. No, sometimes that played to my advantage because when I was faster, my hands were a little bit better. I would drive everybody crazy because I would do something called accident angles.
Yes.
I'd stick handle it, lose the puck, and then the person would try to poke check. And because I've lost the puck,
unpredictable.
Yeah, it was like a knuckleball.
That's how it is with Burkhart, dude. When he stick handles on the ice.
Oh, the accident angles.
I swear to God, I'm like, oh, that's not going to... What? How does he have
How
the
did he get through? Like, yeah, and then you recover, and then everyone wonders, yeah, like how you pulled off that electric move. But, yeah, no.
Anyway. So Louisville got another player. They got a walk-on in basketball from St. X. So that'll be thanks to Kelly Dickey, who brings all the great data. I believe that keeps them from now becoming the first Louisville team without a Kentucky player on the roster.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that was nice data by Kelly. So that was pretty good. We blitzed right through the U.S. Open updates.
Oh crap! Yeah, we did.
Oh, I didn't even slow down. It was like when you're in the subway station in New York and you don't realize
the Masters
train,
all over.
The
again.
Train coming through is out of service, so you go to the edge of the platform and it's like this sucker's not slowing down. It's back to the train yard. It goes like that was us.
Yeah, that was us today.
Yeah.
Avery sends a very nice message to Tanner and I this morning, like, hey, just try to catch.
I acknowledged it too.
Yeah, I know. We both were like, yeah, absolutely, Avery, we got you for sure.
Nope. No. Not even. What else we got going here?
Cole Sherman, by the way.
That's the kid from the St. X kid.
Wait, what about Antonelli?
Yeah, Debbie Antonelli's
kid. We got Antonelli's son.
Debbie Antonelli.
Is he walking on too?
Yeah, he's a walk-on.
Oh, she is.
And I think him and
she's salt of the earth.
McCool, like, play together in like high school.
Oh, that's fantastic. Because she is, God bless her. First of all, she does a really good job as an analyst. And secondly, she's a great person. She's just a one. And she's going to obviously be at some games now, although she's going to be busy herself. She's always doing ACC network games. So I hope she gets to come here.
I mean, a couple years ago, we went from Bill Murray. Now we got Gilbert Arenas, Zach Randolph, Debbie Antonelli.
Yeah, it's just
things are looking up.
Absolutely.
You know, we had Master P for like last
year.
You
left out Master P.
Yeah, we had Master P.
By the way, we're all looking, by the way. I want you to know. I don't want you to think we forgot about you. We are all scouring the Goodwill stores for Karan.
Oh, my God. Please.
After Phil Baker found a Percy Miller reversible jersey.
I was like, that would be Julio's Christmas present. He would be set. He would be straight
for Karan Davis. Hey, by the way.
I'm getting a Raging Cajuns jersey of his. I don't care about how much it costs. I will get it.
By the way, is Nick's hat this is a great hat. Does it slap or what?
I like it.
This is
see,
I got an ICC World Cup hat for Nick that has every country in the tournament. There are 20 countries.
You're wearing the T-shirt. I like it.
Yeah, the polo shirt.
Yeah, very nice.
I didn't know the league was called T20, so I was like, oh, is this like the 20 U teams?
And yeah,
like,
that's what I thought it was.
2020, yeah. T20, 2020. Yeah. Each team gets 20 overs. And it's got every country's logo on there. That is a cool-looking hat.
Oh, that's fantastic.
USA with the big, big match tomorrow. Can they pull it off? Could they pull another upset and beat Ireland? If they do, they get. They call it in cricket the Super 8s. If you make the next round, you're in the okay. Super 8s. So,
be tasty. They've never made it before.
No, they've never. This would be exciting. Cricket's going to be in the Olympics, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah, first time in, I don't know, 100 years or something. So,
nice.
Yeah, it's pretty
How
exciting.
Come baseball's not in the Olympics anymore?
They tried it.
Yeah, I know, but they said not enough countries play, right. But I feel like, I don't know, I feel like there's enough. It's big in the Caribbean. It's big in North America.
It's one of those that's like right on the fence. I guess where it is big, it's big. Korea's league, gigantic.
Oh, my
Japan's
God.
League, gigantic. But the other countries, you know, they don't really. Italy has a league. I know that because the young man who played at Louisville, Del George, mm-hmm. played there. His father was the baseball coach at St. Francis when I was the basketball coach there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so nice. I followed, knew a little bit about him. And so, but it's not, cricket is, it's the second most watched sport in the world.
After soccer.
Soccer, so.
I guess.
But, I mean, go back at some of the sports that used to be in the Olympics. It's hilarious.
Oh, God, yeah. There was
tug of war.
There was ice boat racing. Back in the Winter Olympics, that had to be lit. Oh my God!
They finally had to discontinue, and all the competitors were killed.
Yeah, probably. Yeah,
it's just like yeah.
Yeah, they only got through like 25%. They all just froze. Like, I don't know.
There's only two people on the podium. What happened to the? That's the only.
Yeah, yeah, that's all that left. Yeah, I thought the team came in last. No, they were smart. They didn't kill them.
But I know it hasn't gotten a lot of pub. It's an Olympic year, right? It's an Olympic year.
Yeah.
It's a Summer Olympic year this year, right?
Yeah.
And we hardly have talked about it.
Yeah.
I mean, well, other than having Caitlin Clark being left off the
national roster.
National roster. Don't you find it interesting that
Simone Biles, I think, balled out.
She's not making the basketball team. She's like 5'2".
Yeah, no, that's right.
But you know what's interesting? Like, basketball now not only has the basketball, but they have the 3-on-3 as an Olympic event.
Yeah.
How do you feel about it?
I kind of like it.
Do you?
I didn't know about that, so I was like, how did Haley Van Lith make the women's basketball team? And then I was like, no, it's 3-on-3. And I was like, wait.
I mean, it is how we play.
So we have a 5-on-5 and 3-on-3?
Oh, yeah.
For men's and women's?
Oh, yep.
Ooh, who's going to be on the men's team?
On the men's 3-on-3 team?
Just get a bunch of just like high flyers, just like I want to see only alley-oops.
You really can't. I mean, you can't. You know, because they still shoot, I think, 3-point shots. So that's the thing. You got to really put together a team that makes sense. That's got, you know, or else you're Isaiah Thomas, where you're just accruing assets.
I'm just
sucking.
I'm picking
sucking.
I'm picking.
That's the pivotal second step.
I'm gonna pick like Spain to win the 3-on-3 because those guys are always just playing together like their whole lives.
As always,
yeah, that's true.
As always, let's go to the phones because I'll bet you there's a world ranking of 3-on-3 teams.
See, I like the more the merrier. Like I like events. Like I wish there were more Winter Olympics.
Yeah, Winter
events.
Olympics is so much smaller in terms of events.
Oh my God! I'm not sure if it even has a third of the events that the Summer Olympics have.
I have no idea what country this is. Oh, Serbia. Team ranking for men in 3-on-3: Serbia is first. The United States is second. Amsterdam, the Netherlands is third.
Really?
Yeah.
Didn't see that one.
Well,
coming.
I can promise you this:
Lithuania is fourth.
Those Dutch.
Jokic will not be playing in the Olympics. He wants to just deal with his horses right now.
Yeah.
Okay. Fifth is Vienna. Sixth is, I don't know where this is. What's BRN?
Vienna. In Austria?
Austria, yeah. They're listed by their city.
Oh, okay.
Like technically the USA is Miami.
Oh, okay.
The Netherlands is Amsterdam. What is BRN?
Bahrain?
Not BBN.
Bahrain? BRN?
Riffa is the city.
No idea.
Bosnia.
Serbia is seventh. Well, Serbia's got a team first and a team seventh. Wow, they're really good. And a team ninth. Serbia's digging 3-on-3 basketball.
Seriously.
They're like, we don't need no five.
Riffa is in Bahrain.
Bahrain?
Your boy knew that. I'm just saying. I said Bahrain. You need to listen to me more. No, I'm smart as hell.
What was it really? When did you get here? Paris is 10th. So the U.S. has a team in second and a team in 15th, Princeton, USA. They're very smart. They're all backdoor cutting. They're all making backdoor cuts. The guy throws it to the guy in the post. He throws it back. There's nobody there. So we keep telling you, Tommy, there's only three of us. You can't throw that pass here. Damn it. Harlem is 26th. Very cool.
It's just the Globetrotters.
Women's team, though, not so good. Canada's first. China is second. Germany's third. France is fourth. Azerbaijan is fifth.
Jeez, that's Netherlands a small is sixth. Country.
Spain is seventh. Dusseldorf, which is a fun city to say.
Great mustard, too.
Dusseldorf.
Big fan of
mustard. Germany. Ninth is Poland. And 10th is USA and 11th. The USA has teams at 10th and 11th. Those are our two highest.
From what rankings. Cities?
Well, the USA, the first one just says USA. The next one says Springfield. I assume Springfield, Massachusetts. Could be Springfield. There's a million Springfields.
Springfield, Missouri?
Yeah, could be any number of
those. Fun fact about Springfield, Mass.
Okay.
Where the first basketball game was played, it is now a McDonald's.
Wow.
That's American.
I found that out when I visited Springfield University.
Springfield Y, which is where it was invented?
Yes.
That's hilarious.
It was an activity just to try and keep the kids occupied in the cold weather months. They had nothing to do. Baseball was over. Football was over. Baseball hadn't started. So they tried to play this game. He nailed peach baskets up. James Naismith, this is really the truth. Not like the baseball one where they still have the Hall of Fame. It doubled.
Abner Doubleday?
Yeah, but he didn't invent it.
Well,
no, that's just a...
But it's a fun name to say.
Yeah.
Abner Doubleday.
Yeah.
Did you know he also sucked at baseball? Like, it's like the thing. Like, he made it, and then, like, they're like, dude, you're so bad. Thanks for creating
this. Thanks for inventing this. Now, go invent another game. Don't play this one. But the basketball, so he put these, he went to have them play, and originally it was like nine guys on a team, and they were killing each other. And so Naismith had to come up with some rules just so, hey, please stop beating each other up in my gym. They're only – the original rules, if ever you go see a game at Kansas, they are in the basketball – their Hall of Fame out in front. It's – you can see them. The original – I think there were 9 or 10 rules.
Do they have – like, how did they get the ball out of the peach basket?
Guy was standing on a ladder. He had to go up and get it. And then finally – that's – you see how – you know, I do feel bad for the generation now. To come up with something really original now, you got to really have, like, you know, you got to be a computer programmer and stuff. Here's a guy who revolutionized the game because he said, I got an idea. Hey, Tommy, how about we cut the bottom of the barrel out and the ball will just come back down? That's a good idea. Yeah, and then, you know, that's, you know, that was the now, you know, you got to come up with all sorts of, you know, algorithms. And here's the original James Naismith's original.
There's
13
no common sense anymore.
Rules of basketball. Ready? Here are the rules written in the Springfield College school newspaper, The Triangle. Number one, the ball may be thrown in any direction with one or both hands. Two, the ball may be batted in any direction with one or both hands, never with the fist. Three, a player cannot run with the ball. The player must throw it from the spot in which he catches it. Allowance to be made for a man who catches the ball while running at a good speed if he tries to stop. So the referee had to say, did he make an honest effort to stop?
Right.
Four, the ball must be held in or between the hands. The arms or body must not be used for holding it. Not sure. Like, you can't stuff it down your pants and run.
I was going to say, I was like, oh, okay.
Here's a bunch of no's. No shouldering, holding, pushing, tripping, or striking.
Okay.
The opponent shall, none of that shall be allowed. The first infringement of this rule by any player shall count as a foul. The second will disqualify him until the next goal is made.
Oh, wow. So you have to play a man down?
Mm-hmm.
So, wow.
Or if there was an evident intent to injure the person, even back then, Dr. James was like, I don't have use for this stuff. I got no time for this. You'll be out for the whole game. No substitute allowed.
Wow. So you play, you basically are on a penalty kill the rest of the game.
A foul is striking at the ball with the fist, violation of rules 3, 4, and such as described in rule 5. 7. If either side makes 3 consecutive fouls, it shall count as a goal for the opponents. Consecutive means without the opponents in the meantime making a foul.
Okay.
9. A goal shall be made when the ball is thrown or batted from the grounds into the basket and stays there, providing those defending the goal do not touch or disturb the goal. If the ball rests on the edges and the opponent moves the basket, it shall count as a goal. The earliest form of goaltending.
Yeah, really? Wow.
Number 9. When the ball goes out of bounds, this is great. This is when people would kill each other. When the ball goes out of bounds, it shall be thrown into the field of play by the person first touching it. So it went out of bounds, and they would just race after it. And
whoever touched it first?
His team got to throw it back in.
Okay.
In case of a dispute, the umpire shall throw it straight into the field.
It's a free-for-all? Like, yes. People just scramble
for it? You can't foul. Remember, no shouldering, holding, punching, punching, kicking. The thrower in is allowed 5 seconds. If he holds it longer, it shall go to the opponent. Isn't that amazing? That rule still exists today.
Yeah, really?
If any side persists in delaying the game, the umpire shall call a foul on that side. Hey, cut it out. It's called the cut it out rule. He gets out there and he makes a scissor signal. The umpire shall be the judge of the men and shall note the fouls and notify the referee. So there's a referee and an umpire. When 3 consecutive fouls have been made, he shall have the power to disqualify men according to Rule 5. Number 11, the referee shall be the judge of the ball and shall decide when the ball is in play, inbounds, to which side it belongs, and shall keep the time. He shall decide when a goal has been made and keep account of the goals with any other duties that are usually performed by a referee. The game shall be played in 2 15-minute halves with 5 minutes rest in between. The side making the most goals in that time shall be declared the winner. In case of a draw, the game may, by agreement of the captains, be continued until another goal is scored. Nothing about free throws.
Yeah, really. Yeah, no free throws.
So how did you decide, like, once the team made a goal, then who got the ball?
I guess the other team?
I don't know. He doesn't say that.
Or did the ref just throw it out into the court again?
I guess maybe he did. That's a good question. Basketball was originally 2 words. These rules were originally published when? Play over under. What year?
'95.
Earlier or later than that?
Later. Earlier. Wait, 1895?
1892. Wow. First answer. We must take your first answer. You know the rules. It was written in the Springfield College newspaper, The Triangle. Oh, that's
in 1892.
Mm-hmm. That's where Phil Jackson.
That was a pretty good guess from
you. I thought you were going to hit on the head. I was like, damn. Hey, there'll be a U.S. Open update coming one way or another. I'll give you the scores. Westwood will give you the scores. Somebody will give you the scores. And
yeah, we're still not sure they're going to work. It's going to work.
Well, if it doesn't, then I'll do it.
Okay. They don't do the.
I'm Ted Emmerich. I'm Bob. I'm Ted Emmerich's brother, Bob. Bob Emmerich. And here's boom, doom, doom. You got to make the sound.
Yeah, dude. Well, I don't know.
Well, that's the Masters.
The Masters has the good music.
You know, the U.S. Open has the U.S. Open. Should be some like John Phillips.
Just heavy metal.
John Phillips. No. John Phillips Sousa. Such a real patriotic march. And now it's the U.S. Open scoreboard. Yeah,
By the way, you know, I got a nice fade. Haircut. I look like DJ Khaled. A lot of people have told me that. A skinnier version, thankfully. No offense to DJ Khaled. But Scottie Scheffler rocking a fresh fade.
Nice.
And no beard.
And now the U.S. Open update.
Please do a score update like that.
I'm definitely going to do it. That's definitely going to be it.
That's hilarious.
That's perfect. That is the music.
America.
U.S. Open. All right. Tulio wants a break. What Tulio wants, Tulio gets. ESPN 680, 105 Zone.